In 1986, the world experienced a frightening disaster. In the Soviet Union's Chernobyl nuclear power plant, there was a severe problem. And the problem was human. There were two electrical engineers in the control room that night, and the best thing that could be said for what they were doing is they were playing around with the reactor. They were performing what the Soviets later described as an unauthorized experiment. They were trying to see how long a turbine would freewheel when they took the power off of it. Playing a game. Taking the power off of that kind of a nuclear reactor is a difficult and dangerous thing to do because the reactors are very unstable in the lower ranges. And in order to get the reactor down to that kind of power where they could perform the test they were interested in doing, they had to manually override six separate computer-driven alarm systems. And one by one, the computers would come up and say, stop, dangerous, go no further. And one by one, rather than shutting off the experiment, they shut off the alarms and they kept going, and the result was one of the worst nuclear power plant disasters in history, short of a tsunami. Have you ever made a really bad decision? Have you ever really done something stupid? You ever make mistakes? You ever find yourself in a place you don't want to be? What have I done? How's the road back? It's pretty tough sometimes. Sometimes we look back in our hindsight and we're shocked at ourselves. And it's tough to be productive again. It's tough to move forward. It's tough to get up on Monday morning sometimes and go to work. Because last week you just blew it. It happens. It happens. Sometimes for me, it's tough to get back up the next Sunday morning and preach because last week I feel like I blew it. You know? It is tough. We fail. We fail. We're people. We're human. We're fallible. All of us. So what are we going to do about it? How do you fail and get back up again? Did you know that there's a biblical answer? Wonder why he's talking about this stuff, huh? It is a proven fact that as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to be failures before God in some measure. And it's comforting to find that others who have called themselves Christians or followers of Christ have made some serious mistakes. And yet God still loved them. And he still picked them up. He still saved their souls. He still called them his children. So if you fail, God still loves you. How do I know that? I got a pretty good example for you. His name is Peter. Our scripture reference is in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 31. And in this particular passage of scripture, the setting is different. It's different because during the Passover meal, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, which we just celebrated. And the tradition has changed. God saving his people remained the same. But Jesus and his disciples then proceed to the Mount of Olives to a place called Gethsemane. And in verse 31 of chapter 26 of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples something pretty strange. He said, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." He knew what was around the corner and they didn't. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Now, anyone who's ever read the Gospels or watched the Jesus film knows that Peter denies Christ three times. But if we examine this passage closely, there are a couple of things of importance to you and I. The first is that Peter doesn't set out to fail. In fact, he's emphatic. He means it when he says, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. He doesn't say that lightly. He really means it. And he's a big, rough, and tough fisherman. He figures nothing can whip me. And the second item of import to us is that all the other disciples said the same thing. They all said the same thing. It wasn't just Peter. We always remember Peter failing the Lord by his denial, but the others are there vowing their loyalty to Jesus. And when he's arrested, it is recorded in verse 56, all the disciples deserted him and fled. They all ran off. They were afraid. This wasn't how things were supposed to go in their minds. He was supposed to take over, not be taken into custody. What was happening? But it's Peter's failure recorded in detail, which we all remember. Verse 69 of chapter 26 begins, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. She said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl, girls are trouble, I'm telling you right. I'm in trouble now. He went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them, for your accent gives you away. And then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. A low point. Big time low. There was another follower who also failed the Lord Jesus that night. And the end was different for him. His reaction is recorded like this. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. And Judas threw the money into the temple and left and went away and hanged himself. Now, I titled this message, How to Fail Successfully. You can fail miserably and still be a child of God. You might wonder how I know that. Personal experience, I'll be honest with you. The key to failure not leading to disaster is found in how we react. I want you to note the difference between Judas and Peter. Both of them failed. Both of them acted in the flesh and never considered the spiritual side of anything. But Judas kept the reins of control over his life to the point that he hanged himself. Stop it. Lunch is on the way. Peter, on the other hand, was so broken and sorrowful that he was dependent on God and he was restored. It's no accident that the Apostle Paul wrote, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are the weakest, our hearts are laid bare before the Lord God. When we've gone through enough hardship and pain to take the shields off of ourselves, then that's when God restores us. How many of you have ever been so weak that you just couldn't do it? Couple of us raised our hands. Yeah. God has to carry you sometimes. Sometimes you can't even pray. I'm thankful for that scripture that says the Spirit carries us along and brings our hearts before the Father. Because when you hurt that bad, you can't even move. And God loves you the most in that time. Peter was restored. I like the way Jesus did it. John chapter 21, Jesus showed up. They were fishing. He told them, hey, catch some dinner. And they ate together. And then he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. He took a broken man and gave him a job to do. And I'll bet right then Peter didn't know what he was talking about. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up, simple fisherman, stood up in front of thousands of people and preached. And they were utterly convicted by the Spirit of God. And 3,000 was the number of the church at that moment. That's how many people came to Christ. So a failure by our standards can be a success by God's standards. Some of you might think that those of us who stand up front during worship are perfect. We're perfectly awful. All of us fail. And grace is amazing. And if you think that you don't need the grace of God, you haven't been down far enough yet. Because you're not that strong. Judas never gave God a chance to heal his heart and forgive his sins and bring him back into fellowship. Failure does not have to be a permanent state of existence. If we fail successfully, we're going to learn from our mistakes and our lives are going to be changed forever. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Are you getting that the scriptures are lining up side by side here? Peter didn't just run away, he faced his actions and let God take care of them. And as a result, he was used by the Lord God. And he never gave up on the fact that he could serve God. He knew he had erred, but he didn't spend his whole life in regret. It didn't destroy him. I really don't know what happened to those two electrical engineers who experimented with the Chernobyl reactors. Not sure what happened to those guys. I wonder if they've ever found peace. I imagine they were confronted with the fact that they unleashed a deadly cloud of radioactivity into their homeland. But you know what? God could have brought them peace too. I heard a couple of weeks ago that there are older women in Russia that are going back into that area to resettle that area. They won't allow them unless they're past menopause and past childbearing to do that, but the older women are going back in there because that's home. As crazy as that is. Do you have failures in your life that you let separate you from God? Do you have things in your life that you don't want to talk about with anybody? One friend of mine, he's about retirement age now. He was a combat Marine in Vietnam. And I tried like crazy to get him to accept Christ because I loved him. I wanted him so badly to know peace. And he couldn't let go of what he'd done. He was a valiant warrior for our country. And he couldn't get over that. He said, God's got a special deal for me. I said, yes, he does. And he never could let his guard down, because that's how he survived, having that guard up. I don't know if he's gotten there yet. He's aged, but he's so strong personally that he's weak. You know what I mean? And what he did wasn't a failure. It was amazing. But for him not to be able to find peace with God because of that, it's tragic. Listen to some of what Peter wrote after he was reinstated by Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. He wrote about how to live. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. A healed heart, a freed man, probably the most miserable failure that anyone can have is denying Christ. And I've done that. When I was in the Navy, I wasn't a Christian man. And I'll never forget this little guy that came up to me in the chow hall and said, I've got great news. I was not receptive to his great news. I ran him off. Rejected his message of salvation. But God wasn't done. Thankfully. And this little diabetic preacher that we had in church was preaching sermons right at me, and I couldn't stand it. And this quiet, shy little guy claimed Christ and was healed. You don't have to hang on to where you are. You don't have to deal with your failures. You can let God heal you. Let him have this. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. That's how to fail successfully. Let God own your heart. He's a lot better at it than you are. Give him your heart and he'll give you his peace. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful to you for this day, for this wonderful time that we can worship you, that you are with us, and we know that you love us. Thank you for giving us so many examples of victory through failure, through you, through your power, through your love. Father, I pray for those who are hurting today, those who are sick, those who couldn't be here, those who are carrying within them disease and illness. I pray that you'll relieve them of that. I pray that your power will be in them, that you'll hold them up, give them your grace and your strength. I pray that you'll free them.